So, my name is Belle, and I'm 13 years old. Today is November 22nd, Thanksgiving Day, and I'm speaking with Kat Monteith, or Monty Monteith, who is my grandfather. And we are recording this interview in Senatobia, Mississippi, or in his shop. So, Kat, when were you born?
I was born Hugh McGee Monteith III, and I was born on April 25th, 1947, at about 4:30 in the morning. That's a.m. And to Hugh and Martha Joe Monteith Jr. and in the town of Tunica, Mississippi. My parents were farmers, and I went to school in Tunica, and while I was there, I played all sports, and I was in Boy Scouts, where I attained the rank of Eagle Scout. Was a member of the Order of the Arrow, and I participated in every science fair that I could. I started participation in the fifth grade and did a project every year till I graduated from high school. And I played all sports, as I said, and I also played from the eighth grade till I graduated in a rock and roll band called the Pacers. I played electric guitar and I sang.
Wow, that was a lot. Okay. So you said you were in the Boy Scouts, right?
Yes.
What would you say is the best thing that you did in Boy Scouts?
Oh, the best thing that I did in Boy Scouts was to go on camping trips and to go to summer camp every year and work on staff at summer camp and also attend Philmont Scout Ranch as a boy for a month. And it was in July of 1961. Both of my sons, Mac and Scott, I had the privilege of attending Philmont Scout Ranch later in life with them as an advisor.
Okay. Were you in the military?
Yes, I was in the United States Air Force. In 1973 and 1974, I had sort of started my military education. I went to military school in Marion, Alabama, called Marion Military Institute, when I was a freshman in college and studied military there in basic college. Then I went to University of Mississippi, Ole Miss, for 3 years, where I studied language, especially German, and also went to school in Salzburg, Austria, at the university there. I studied German literature, but I also did all the science stuff. And then I attended dental school at the University of Tennessee at Memphis in 1969 in the summer. And I graduated from there in December of 1972, where I immediately began service in the United States Air Force, where I was stationed at Edwards Air Base, which was a flight test center in the Mojave Desert near Lancaster, California. And after that, I was assigned to Osan Air Base in South Korea for a year there.
So what made you want to go to the military?
There wasn't a question of want. I was going to be drafted.
Oh, for the
For the war in Vietnam.
Oh.
And we greatly supported that war in Vietnam during that time.
So what are some things you remembered about, like, adapting to go to the military?
Well, first of all, the thing I'll remember the most is that you wore uniforms every day, but I had been indoctrinated into that somewhat for wearing military uniforms at Marion Military Institute. So that wasn't so strange. I guess the strangest thing was that you really lost your identity somewhat you were always under somebody else's command, which was a little different. Again, it was that way in military school, but I really noticed that in the service a whole lot. But anyway, that's the military was a unique thing, and I don't regret serving.
So, were you, like, rebellious as a child, or?
Well, it depends on who you ask. If you ask my parents, they would say certainly. And if you ask my school teachers, they would say absolutely. If you ask my parents, they would agree with all of that. And probably some of my teachers in school, and certainly my time in the service, yes, I was rebellious.
So, what would you've told me that you used to, when you went to Hardy, you would just spend the night at the dock or just go and spend the night in the woods.
Yes.
What do you think was the scariest thing about being by yourself?
Just the unknown.
The unknown?
Yeah, you don't know what's there. And that's the scariest part. The noises that you would hear, the things that you'd hear rustling in the grass, the movement in the trees, the sounds of the animals, and things like that. And it was dark, and you just wouldn't know. And it was sometimes frightening. But then again, you got to get used to it. And the more you did it, the less it bothered you.
What was one of the scariest things? Wink, wink, the Wiimote.
Scariest things we ever encountered, I guess, was when I was a boy. We had been told tales of this one-eyed creature that stood about 7.5 or 8 feet tall, and it had fur all over it, kind of reddish fur, called a Wiimote. And we always thought that Big Scott Arnold and my dad and some other guys told us about it when we'd go out and shoot guns and stuff. And, you know, we were always glad when they told us they had guns there in case one of those happened to come around. Well, I was spending the night on Kenny Lake one time. I was in about the 7th grade, and that was definitely in Wiimote territory, as we used to call it. And I never will forget, we were camping in a little cabin, I mean very small cabin, probably 9 by 9, and there was Bill Bailey, my best friend, and his brother Wes, and me. And we'd been out there making a fire, and it was kind of cold. And when we fired up the fire, by an old log, there was a snake in it. And I guess it woke him up, and he slithered out. And that kind of spooked us a little bit. But we finally just sat out there and told stories about Wiimotes, of course, that we knew nothing of. So we went to bed in there. And then about the Bailey boys were asleep, but some noise woke me up. And I went out there, and I wasn't certain of what it was. And so it was down on the lake, and I was scary of it. But I went down there anyway and looked, and I didn't see anything. And I had my little Boy Scout flashlight kind of with me, and I flashed it out on Kenny Lake and looked around, and I thought I saw something move. And on this big log, stretched out over the water, was this creature. It was huge. And it was sort of red, and it looked to me, and I saw a reflection off of it as my light shined on it. And it was about, it was 3 or 4 inches big.
What was?
It was a single eye, and with fur all over it, and a long snout right below where the nostrils were. There were two holes. And then the snout that came out, like, it looked like a bear or something, I guess, but it didn't have a mouth. The only thing it had was this big tube, and it was probably 16 or 17 inches long, and it tapered to a deal, much like a hollow tube, but it tapered down. And it had to be the Wiimote. I mean, that's what they were talking about. And their descriptions had been kind of accurate, but I doubt really any of those people. Maybe Big Scott had seen one, because he was raised on a farm out at Dubs, Mississippi, kind of near where Mary Kay lived at Dundee. But anyway, I ran back in there and told the boys about it, but they were sleeping. They wouldn't even wake up. And I went out there the next morning, and there was just some scratches on in the bark on the log.
Of the cabin?
No, to where the Wiimote, if that's what it was there. And I don't know what else it could have been. But anyway, the way the Wiimote survived was it'd come down and it'd stick that long pointed thing down into an animal, a cow primarily. They were losing a lot of cows out there on the levee. And this was real close to the Mississippi levee there. And they were totally drained dry of blood. And anyway, it was a pretty gruesome thing. And the Bailey boys, I think they finally believed me. But according to the latest conversation I had with Bill, was in Scotland this summer, and he still hadn't seen one to this day. So
that's the story. They went extinct.
Hmm?
I wonder if they went extinct.
Well, they could have. About that time, see, the farmers were using DDT, a chemical, and that also ran the eagles away. It ran the quail away. And I think very well could have run the Wiimote away.
Well, I wonder where they would have gone.
I don't know. They may have swam back across the Mississippi River over into Arkansas, but the farmers were using it over there too, so I don't really know. Anyway, Bill has written some articles on Wiimote, but again, I've never seen one in all the times I've been in the woods since, or I've never seen any evidence of it, just at one time, but I've sure heard enough stories of them.
So, to switch the topic, what do you think was the hardest Boy Scout badge that you've ever gotten? Hardest to earn?
Surveying? Mm-hmm.
So what was the, you just surveyed people?
No, it was land surveying. You'd survey plots of land. And the guy that I went with was engineer. He was a civil engineer. And he made me measure the distances from whatever and record it and do a lot of math that went, at that time I was not familiar with. But it was hard, and it took a month to get it. But the interesting thing about that man and Boy Scouts in general is that you learn more just about than the subject that there is. You learn about the person that's teaching you the badge. But Mr. Smith had a son named Gene Smith, and Gene Smith was shot down, and I think it was a Phantom jet over Vietnam, and remained prisoner of war over there for the rest of the war. He finally got out, but I remember that a lot with regard to that man.
So what else was there about the Delta that, I don't know, made your childhood
Well, all I can say about the Mississippi Delta is I think is it's a charming place. And I could think of nowhere else on earth that I'd rather have grown up. It still intrigues me to this day. The way the land lays flat, the farming, the harvest, the laid by in the summer, and then the total rest that the crop land gets in the winter. It's just absolutely phenomenal to me. And every chance that I get to drive, get in one of my cars and drive it over to the Delta, is just special to me. It's a great place to grow up. My granddaddy grew up in Polk for a little bit and then moved to the Delta. My daddy grew up in the Delta, and I grew up in the Delta, and that's a very positive part of my life.
How did you meet KK, your spouse?
Met her in kindergarten.
You met her in kindergarten?
Yeah.
Had you been waiting for her since kindergarten? Have you been waiting to, like, have you had a crush on her since kindergarten?
Oh, I don't even think, I just hadn't seen her before because she lived out in the country, and she was an unusual girl to look at, and, I had my first date with her in the fourth grade. And we went to the movie, and in my shop sit some of the seats that we sat in, I'm sure, over the years. And we had a very nice relationship off and on through high school.
So when did you marry her?
November 29th, 1968.
And how old were both of you?
Oh, gee. I'm going to say 21.
21? Where did you get married?
At the Tunica Presbyterian Church.
Tunica Presbyterian Church. Wait, how did you get her braids on the wall, though?
Oh, she found them at her mama's house, and she cut them off in the fifth grade. Over there, there's a picture. Did you see the picture?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's another picture right there I have with her with them right off. She got them cut off in the fifth grade, and she just always kept them, and I always liked them, and she finally gave them to me.
She must have had extremely long hair.
I never saw them unbraided. I never did.
Really?
Mm-mm.
And always. Then she cut her hair off, and she looked really pretty.
Yeah.
Her hair curled. Wait, so when was that picture taken?
Which one?
That one with her curly hair.
Oh, with the black thing?
Mm-hmm.
That's a senior picture in high school.
Oh.
Or maybe one at college.
So.
She was a very pretty girl. Is a very pretty girl.
So, why have cars always been of such interest to you?
Well, I've always really liked them. On my 15th birthday, that's when we got our license when I was a boy, Mom and Daddy gave me a 1953 Chevrolet, and I'll show you a model of it over there, for my 15th birthday. And from that minute on, I started trying to make it go faster. And I had it torn apart the day I bought it. And I drove it a little bit, and I saw some work it needed. And I was able to buy my own tools and stuff, and always enjoyed cars and making them go faster and race or whatever. And I just always liked them. And as I got older and finally had some money, and I was able to buy the cars that I always wanted, which was a great thing. You know, Porsches, Mercedes, Ferraris, a lot of British stuff. My first sports car I ever bought was a 1950 MGTD/C competition car that I bought in Marina Del Rey, California in 1973. And I raced it all in Southern California. I got it running and then raced it. And I still use it today.
You still have it?
Yeah, I'll show it to you.
So what it would be like one of your favorite stories to tell everyone besides the Wiimote story? No, we can't tell that on this interview.
Okay, I don't know. I don't know any other stories that you can...
There's that skiing story.
Which skiing story?
Any of them. One where you fell in the hole.
Well, that wasn't real funny. You just... There are a lot of stories about skiing. There are a lot of stories about everything. I don't really have any favorites too much, but except stories about Sissy, I guess. Oh, me.
So I think we can finish this interview now.
Okay. Well, that'd be fine, Bill. I've enjoyed spending time with you and enjoyed spending my Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday going away, so I enjoyed spending it with you.
Yeah? You don't like Christmas better?
No.
No?
Oh, well, I did when I was a kid. But as I've gotten older, I like that. Well, I even liked Thanksgiving a lot when I was in high school.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thanks, Kat, for you participating.
Bet, Bill. I love you. You're very special.
I love you, too. Okay, 3, 2, 1. We're going to finish the interview. Are you sure? Yes, I am.